Welcome to Channel 9 at TechEd Europe. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist, and in this interview, we're going to be talking about some of the latest enhancements from our Linux and open source community. I'm joined here by two of our principal program manager leads from our open source and integration team, Jason and Michael. Jason, Michael, thanks for joining us. Why don't you give a quick introduction first?
Sure. I'm Jason Anderson, and I manage our Open Source Technology Center along with Michael. Both of our centers are worldwide. My center's in Shanghai. Michael's obviously out of Redmond. And we're doing all the great work to enable Linux and FreeBSD on Hyper-V that we're going to talk about.
Michael.
Yeah, so as Jason said, I'm the lead program manager for the Open Source Technology Center group in Redmond.
Great. Now, a lot of people, they seem surprised that Microsoft is investing in Linux and the open source community. Why are we doing this? What's the strategy behind this?
The reality is the world is heterogeneous, right? Folks in their data centers are running Linux, they're running Windows, they're running Unix. And if Microsoft wants to play in that space, we need to have products and capabilities to work with Windows, to work with Linux, and to work with Unix. So we're really working on this goal of making Linux a first-class citizen in the Microsoft product set.
And I think that really speaks to Microsoft's new goals around interoperability, right? We're not just thinking about the Microsoft stack of technology. Because that's right, as you said, our customers have that variety of resources. We want to be able to support that, make sure that they can use our tools regardless of what systems they have. Now, could you maybe talk a little bit about what you're actually seeing within engineering? Like, do we have developers? Do we have program managers? Like, what type of an investment are we making on that development side, too?
We have a pretty sizable group of people, yes. So we have developers. We have people who are writing Linux device driver code and contributing that code to the upstream Linux kernel. So yes, Microsoft is actually contributing to Linux with Microsoft employees writing that code. We have people testing that code to make sure that it runs well on Hyper-V. We also, of course, have developers writing code for Microsoft System Center so that Microsoft tools can manage Windows and Linux and Unix in the customer's data center. So we have program managers, we have developers, we have testers. And again, as Jason said earlier, we are a multi-site group. We have people in Redmond, and we have people in Shanghai who are contributing to this effort.
No,
I was going to say, one of the reasons why we chose to have a site in Shanghai is it's easier for us to be able to recruit a lot of Linux talent. And there's a good sub-center in a part of Shanghai that we're in that has companies like Intel and Motorola and so forth. We've been able to acquire some great talent that helps us be able to build this muscle that's relatively new to Microsoft.
Very nice. Now, did I hear correctly, we're actually checking in code to the Linux? Is that going through things like the community reviews, like as if regular code for Linux?
It absolutely does. And in that sense, Microsoft, yes, is a full-fledged participant in the Linux community. Our developers submit code. We get comments back from the community that said, hey, you really should have done it this way instead of that way, and so forth. And we make changes, we make updates, we make improvements, and then we ultimately get that code contributed into the Linux kernel.
Awesome. Now, I know over the last, not just this week, but the last month or so, there's been a lot of major enhancements you guys have done. I guess, starting with Linux itself, what's new in Linux for integration?
The month of October has been pretty interesting. Been several Linux distros that have been released. We have the new SUSE Linux Enterprise version 12. Ubuntu 14.10 is released here in October as well. Red Hat 6.6, CentOS 6.6 has been released. And then Oracle Linux version 7 has been released. And Microsoft is working with directly with all of these Linux distro vendors to make sure that the Linux drivers for Hyper-V are incorporated into those distros. So we're super pleased to see all of these releases come out this month and to have the appropriate Hyper-V support to run well as Linux distros on Hyper-V. Networking performance is one of the things that we've particularly been working on over the last 6 months. That code has been in the upstream Linux kernel now for a while. And some of these Linux distros, the Ubuntu 14.10, the SLES 12, the Red Hat 6.6, those distros have those networking performance improvements. And so that's something that our customers will now have available to them to deploy in their data centers that are running Hyper-V.
Great. Now, when we say that we're working with Hyper-V, if I understand it correctly, we now actually have integration components or integration services directly in the Linux distribution. So when you deploy a new Linux VM, we understand, or it understands, it's running on Hyper-V, right?
That's correct.
And what exactly does that give us? Yeah. What advantages?
Yeah, and I talk about the drivers that we're creating for Linux and contributing to the Linux kernel. Internally, that's what we call the Linux integration services. So on the Windows side, of course, if you're going to run a Windows guest on Hyper-V, there are Windows integration services. And then so we have what we call the Linux integration services, which are these drivers that we have contributed to the upstream kernel. And yes, those are the drivers that really take advantage of the capabilities that Hyper-V provides, both to get high performance in your networking and your disk storage, as well as to provide management capabilities so that you have good integration between Linux and the Hyper-V management services. And then, of course, Jason's team has been focused on FreeBSD, so.
Yeah, why don't you give us a quick overview of what investments you've had with FreeBSD?
No, absolutely. So FreeBSD is interesting, and you might ask, why would I care as an enterprise admin, as an example, about FreeBSD? A lot of virtual appliance vendors use FreeBSD. And back to Michael's comment earlier about heterogeneous environments, really, we have the goal of ensuring that we provide a great Hyper-V experience so enterprises can be able to have a single hypervisor for their environment. So supporting FreeBSD is important to be able to support those virtual appliances. So we've done a lot of work recently to get FreeBSD to really catch up to where Linux is today in Hyper-V, and even to get it to be further from things around storage performance, network performance, overall stability and performance. So a lot of work that we've done there recently.
Great. Now, across both of these different technologies here, you mentioned networking, you've mentioned networking. Like, could you go into just some more details about how we've enhanced our networking to just better integrate with our solutions?
Right. So, yeah, there are a number of features that have existed in the Windows side, in Hyper-V, to improve networking performance. So, things like something called virtual receive side scaling, VRSS. So, that's a feature that's existed within Windows guests, and it allows multiple virtual CPUs in the guest to be involved in processing network packets as they come in or as they are sent out. And so this is implementing that VRSS feature within the Linux drivers is one of the things that gives us better performance. There are also things called TCP offloads where you actually push some of the network performance, network processing work out to the network card instead of actually doing it with the CPU. Again, gives you better performance. And so we've implemented a number of these TCP offloads. So in fact, now if you go to the Microsoft documentation on TechNet and you look up Linux and Hyper-V on TechNet, you'll find the documentation there. And we've added new rows now to indicate features that we support in Linux. And so we now have a row for VRSS, and we have a row for TCP offloads. And we can now check the box now in the latest versions of Linux distros to indicate that we now have these capabilities, and that indicates that you're getting those better performance.
Now, how about on the FreeBSD side? What have we done with networking?
Great question. So we're, as Michael talked about, we're also working on bringing some of the advancements that he talked about, TCP offload and so forth, into FreeBSD. Now, it's interesting because FreeBSD is it's not a flavor of Linux. It's actually a derivative of Unix. We can't just port over code from Linux to FreeBSD. We actually have to kind of take that work that we've done and be able to implement it in a BSD way. So we're able to get some of that advancements of the work that's been done, but we bring those feature sets over. So we're at a point right now where Linux performance and stability is pretty high, and it's continuing to get better. FreeBSD is catching up, and we're bringing some of those features in as well.
Great. Let's move to the storage side. What are the big enhancements we made around storage and storage management?
You know, the key things there are to take advantage, of course, of what Hyper-V is now offering. And, you know, fortunately, we didn't have to do a lot of work in the Linux operating system itself in order to take advantage of those features. Many of the new capabilities around quality of service, around being able to take advantage of SSDs to provide tiering of storage, all of those capabilities in Hyper-V, you really just get them for free in the Linux space. So we do testing, we make sure that all that stuff works, but the good news is we didn't have to do a whole lot of new development work there. So we're just taking advantage of what's there in Hyper-V.
And now on your side,
The BSD side is a little bit different because the work that we had done originally with our FreeBSD Integration Services 1.0 a couple of years ago was very basic enabling support, but we didn't have things implemented in, for example, in VMBus multi-channel support. Multi-channel support allows each device driver to, instead of using one channel, be able to use multi-channels that are bound to different virtual CPUs. So very core feature set to be able to offload some of that work. So enabling multi-channel in the VM bus layer in the storage driver, being able to enable multi-queue to be able to take advantage of that. So we're trying to get a lot of that core work up to speed so we can take advantage of some of the storage advancements that exist on Hyper-V today.
Let's talk about compute, memory management, things like that. What have we worked on in the Linux world?
Hyper-V has a feature called dynamic memory, where Hyper-V can automatically manage the allocation of physical memory among the different guest virtual machines that are running. And so one of the features that was introduced in Windows guests a release or two ago was this concept of dynamic memory, where the hypervisor can reallocate memory to and from the guest as necessary. And so we've implemented dynamic memory in Linux guests as well. They can cooperate. You can have Windows guests and Linux guests running on the same Hyper-V instance. And then Hyper-V can, if it detects that the guest is not using all of the memory, we refer to this concept of memory pressure, how much demand is the memory within the Linux guest. And then Hyper-V can free up some physical memory and take it away from the Linux guest, give it to another guest that needs the memory, and vice versa. When that Linux guest needs memory again, the pressure will go up within the guest, and then Hyper-V can allocate memory back to that Linux guest as necessary.
And do you support live migration?
Absolutely. So Linux guests can be live migrated from one Hyper-V host in a cluster to another Hyper-V host. That capability has been there for a long time. And it's just sort of one of the basic things that a guest virtual machine needs to be able to do to participate well, to be fully functional in a Hyper-V cluster.
And how much have you guys been investing in this area?
Well, we've got some work to catch up. So, for example, dynamic memory is an area that we have more work to do on the FreeBSD side to get caught up to where Linux is at. So we're running fast, and we're going to get there. It's on the radar, but not quite there yet.
Live migration support.
Live migration support is supported.
It's
pretty straightforward across the board, which is good.
Also, well, let's move on a little bit now. We talked about kind of the base management with Hyper-V. How about with System Center once we start to extend things out, use our data center management technologies?
Right.
What's new in the Linux world with System Center?
So, again, we have new Linux distros, Slash 12, Ubuntu 14.10, Red Hat 6.6, Red Hat 7 came out in the summer. We just, in fact, released Update Rollup 4 for System Center 2012 R2. That came out Tuesday this week. And that supports these new Linux distros. We're continuing to add features in the vNext release of System Center. And so here at TechEd Europe, we announced some of the new capabilities. We're planning, for example, we have a new Apache web server management pack for System Center Operations Manager. We have a new MySQL management pack, MySQL database management pack for Ops Manager in the vNext release. So, and then we've taken customer feedback as well. So a number of smaller features around Operations Manager, diagnostics and recoveries. We've added some new UI there. Just tried to address customer concerns that have come in and make improvements to the product in order to address those concerns. So we're definitely continuing the development work in System Center to support Linux and Unix operating systems as well. So we talk about Linux, that tends to be the emphasis, but many of our enterprise customers, you know, they have AIX or they have Oracle Solaris or HPUX, and so we provide agents and coverage for those operating systems in addition to that set of Linux distros that we support.
Great. And how about on the FreeBSD side?
Well, actually, Michael is the System Center management guy, but there's not a whole lot there on the FreeBSD
side. Yeah, we really haven't done any FreeBSD thing within System Center. Again, as Jason mentioned earlier, it's not quite so much the general purpose operating system for running enterprise workloads in the way that Windows and the way that Linux is used. So we're still taking a look at what do we need to do in the System Center space so that if you have virtual appliances that are based on FreeBSD, you know, how do those need to get integrated into our management space? And that's still a work in progress at this point.
Now, let's start to talk about our public cloud, Microsoft Azure. What are kind of the enhancements we've made or integration we've made there?
So one of the core things that we've done on the Azure side is we have what was announced at TechEd this week or made public was the new Azure portal, the new experience there. But what's been in Azure for a while are what are called Azure endorsed Linux images that are available up in Azure to be able to provision VMs right away. And what's specific about these Linux images that are there is not only do they already include the Linux integration services work that Michael and my team has done, but also some of the Azure Linux agent work, which is some Python code that runs in the guest OS, communicates with the Azure Fabric to be able to provision and run in Azure appropriately. So what we do is we work closely with the distro vendors, such as Canonical and OpenLogic and so on, to ensure that not only are those components integrated well, but we test end-to-end, and that way we ensure that those distros are running really well. Now, outside of that, there are a lot of other ways to get Linux up in Azure. We've got VM Depot. VM Depot is managed by Microsoft OpenTech, which is a subsidiary to Microsoft that works with the OSS community. It's a community curation, if you will, of Linux images that have been put together by the community. Could be plain Linux, could be an entire stack with WordPress, MySQL, and so forth, that have been tested to at least run in Azure, but don't have the full end-to-end testing as well. So a lot of options available. You can go right to the portal today and be able to provision a VM from there.
So is there anything else you guys could tell me about where we're going next? Are we going to be continuing investing in this space? What are the kind of the key areas that we want to work on?
You know, we're looking at additional Linux distros. For example, announced this week was the support for CoreOS. CoreOS is a new Linux distro. It's also a new startup company in the San Francisco area. They have particularly focused on making a very small and stripped down version of Linux that is suitable for typically running containers. And so announced this week, we have alpha versions or preview versions of the CoreOS Linux distro now in Azure to target that community. So this is a very hot new Linux distro. And I think, you know, it points out one of the things that Microsoft's trying to do, which is to stay very current with what's happening in the Linux community, in the Linux space. And so we saw that CoreOS was becoming important, was getting a lot of attention, and so we really jumped on making sure that we could have the Linux integration services in CoreOS so that it'll run on Hyper-V and therefore run in Azure. And then we worked with both the Redmond and the Shanghai teams together to make sure that it would run well in Azure. And so we have that up this week. That was an announcement that was made. I think the other thing, of course, that's going on is we're continuing to develop Azure extensions for Linux. Jason, you may want to say a little bit about
that. Yeah,
what
exactly is that?
So Azure extensions for Linux, similar to Windows extensions, allow you to effectively configure a VM to some degree offline. To be able to, for example, we have an extension called Custom Script. What the Custom Script extension is it allows you to inject a script into your VM to be run. It can be run in any language, it can be Python, Perl, whatnot, to be able to do configuration of your VM. So for example, you could create a script that would go ahead and set up MySQL and configure other aspects of your Linux image. You can inject that either through the portal directly, or you can do it through Azure PowerShell. And that way you can batch up, run multiple, and do configurations on multiple images that you have running right away, rather than having to hit them all individually, as an example. We're continuing to build more extensions to add more functionality on the VM side to be able to make manageability and extensibility of Azure, of Linux versions in Azure, you know, really, really great.
And I think, you know, thematically, you know, we talk about Linux being a first-class citizen, and that's both a first-class citizen in terms of running on Hyper-V, it's being a first-class citizen within the System Center environment, and it's being a first-class citizen within the Azure environment. So, you know, particularly as we continue to push forward in the capabilities that are in Azure, we want to make sure that Windows and Linux both can run with equivalent capabilities there. As we push forward in the hybrid world and get closer and closer in terms of what we can do in the Azure public cloud, what we can do in the System Center and Hyper-V and Azure PAC-based private cloud on premises, as we continue to get those closer together, you know, we're going to make sure that Linux can fully participate in all of the enhancements and improvements that Microsoft is making in that space.
That's awesome. I mean, I think, you know, just going over this list of features you've talked about in the past 2 months, you guys are really heavily invested in that. So it's really great to see that traction. It's something that Microsoft is going to continue doing. So if you're a Linux shop, think about using Microsoft to run your virtual machines, to manage your Linux distributions, because this is going to be a space where we continue to grow. Finally, where can people go to learn more or to stay on top of what the latest features and enhancements you guys are releasing are?
I mentioned earlier, of course, if you go to TechNet and search for Hyper-V and Linux, it takes you kind of a top-level page that talks about running Linux on Hyper-V. We then have a sub-page for each of the distros that we support. Red Hat, CentOS, Ubuntu, Oracle Linux, SUSE, Debian. And so you can see more details about particular versions of Linux that are supported on Hyper-V. If you go into the System Center space and look at each of the System Center products, you'll find documentation there for running, managing Linux with System Center. And then, of course, if you go to the Azure documentation pages, there's information about endorsed Linux distros there, about how to upload your own Linux distro. So all of that documentation is online as part of the Microsoft documentation set.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming and speaking with me, Michael and Jason. Congratulations. You guys have done a lot in this space. And we look forward to seeing more coming out from you guys and your teams.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.